As long as we believe in you, Lord Jesus, it will be. Father God, we thank you for this time that you've blessed us with. We pray for Pastor Larry, Lord. We ask that you'll speak through him, Lord God, that our hearts may be blessed. We ask all these in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may please take your seats. And hang on just a second. Miss Heather, bring those young people up here. All the young people, come on up here. Jamie, all the young people, bring them on up here, all of them. Everybody's leaving right now, right up here in front. Right here, guys. Young people, come on up here, right here. Ronell, Caleb. Everybody right up here. You too, teacher. All right. Where's the rest of my student ministry, young people ministry? Come on up here. Guys, Anthony, Dennis, Miss Jamie, come on up here. Folks, sometimes we sit here in church and we forget that church is happening all over this building. It's happening here in this sanctuary. It's happening in our young people's ministry area. It's happening in our Hispanic ministry. And sometimes we come before the Father and we get this calmness in our heart when there should be a burning, white-hot passion for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and touch these young lives. And so before they go, I want to recognize them and I want to pray for them before they go back there or before they go to their ministry area. Does that sound like a good idea? Amen. And then after I pray, some of you guys can fill in this hole right here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these young people that are here today. And before they go into their study areas, Lord, we just lift them up before you that you would touch their hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these teachers. And Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, that you would convict us, that there would not be a calming in our hearts, but Lord, a raging fire for the things of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for their service. We thank you for the blessing that they are to these young people. We thank you for these young people themselves. It is so hard just to be a godly young person in today's society. So, Lord, we ask a blessing upon them. I ask a blessing upon Pastor Ivan and Miss Jamie and Dennis and Anthony and all these young people that work in that ministry. Lord, we ask a blessing on all of their heads, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, you guys are now dismissed, young people, to your classes. And for the rest of you, please get the Word of God out, your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. The book of Joshua, chapter 20. Now, before we get going, do you have your notes with you today? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, what I want you to do is in your notes, right underneath point number 3. This is before we get started. Everybody look up here. In your notes, right underneath point number 3, I want you to draw a line right down the middle from that bottom line down to the top of your scripture. Go ahead and do that with your ink pen. And then over on the left side, put 1, 2, 3. And just to the right of that line that you just drew, put a 4, 5, 6. You're going to need that in this message. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's try that one more time. If you're with me, say amen. There we go. All right. Because you're going to want to keep your notes here. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, please lift your Bibles in the air above your heads, whether it's in printed or digital format. Amen. All right. Then we're going to the book of Joshua chapter 20. This is our next to the last message in our current series, Living the Significant Life. Next week we will close out in chapter 24, where it says, "As for me and my house," how do you finish that, folks? "We will serve the Lord." So today is Christ, our consolation. You know, many people think that the book of Joshua is just history. That it's just a history book. But you're going to find Jesus Christ here in the book of Joshua, just like you find him in any book in the Bible. Recently someone asked me, "Pastor, are you ever going to preach a series on the four Gospels?" And I said, "Well, which four Gospels are you speaking about?" And before everybody gets all excited in here, biblically speaking, there are not four Gospels. There are 66 Gospels in the Bible. Because this is a hymn book. It is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read your Bible and don't find Jesus Christ in what you're reading, either pointing away or how you are far from Him. You are reading your Bible incorrectly. This is a hymn book, and today's passage is no different. Now, it's going to take me a moment to read this. We're going to read all 9 verses in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. If you're there in your Bibles, please say amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God, it says, "The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint for yourselves city of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person, listen closely, accidentally or unintentionally, may flee there, and they may be your refuge from the avenger of blood." Continue on. "And when he flees to one of those cities and stands in the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then, if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled." Now listen closely. "So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward," that means toward the Mediterranean Sea, "they assigned Bezer in the wilderness of the on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally may flee from there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. Now you are going to look at this and say, "Pastor, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, how does this apply to the Lord Jesus Christ and it being a hymn book, as you just said?" Well, I have 3 points for you today, and then we have a little sub-point there for you after in point number 2. But in our points today, the first point, let's call it the nature of Christ. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking back at verse 2 again, if you're there, please say amen. "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, which I spoke to you through Moses." You may be wondering, what would a person need a city of refuge to run to for? Now, I know that in today's modern society, cities of refuge or sanctuary cities carry an entirely different context from the context of which we are speaking biblically today. So let's focus on this scripture. Let's focus on what God is saying in His Word. What would a person need a city of refuge to run to for? Why would they need that? Well, it's very simple. Back then, in those days, there was nothing like the court system that we have nowadays. There was nothing like the law enforcement system that we have today. Not a kind-hearted policeman writing somebody up with the ink pen he's been given by his pastor. Nothing even close. With everything that is happening today, just remember that we are a nation of laws. Amen? And back then, they had law. It was the law of God. But back to Joshua's day, as we're talking here, and there were times back then when someone might accidentally kill his or her friend. Well, what do you mean accidentally, Pastor? How do you accidentally kill somebody? Well, simple. It may be a farming accident. Maybe he's cleaning land and pulling trees or stumps and the chain or the rope pops and the tree falls over and kills his neighbor or kills the person that works for him. Maybe they're rolling stones away and that stone rolls down the hill and rolls over somebody and kills them. But whenever something like that happened, you have to understand that it was the nature, it was the custom of that time that a close relative would find the person who had done the killing and put them to death. That was the custom. If you kill somebody in a family, another member of that family would track you down and administer the justice. That was the custom. That was the law. So you needed a refuge place, some place to run to until the matter could be listened to and settled appropriately. In other words, that you could be fairly judged for what happened. It was an accident. We were working together. The tree fell. It could have just as easily have killed me as it killed my neighbor. You guys got it? Say, got it. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. We tend to muddy things up sometimes, though. And so the family would be incensed and just want to kill them for having killed their spouse or the person in their family. You may think, well, what? Okay, it was an accident, Pastor Larry. Well, yeah, but if you killed the head of the other family, that was the sovereign head of that family. That might have been the breadwinner in their family. And so the Lord says, you need a place of opportunity. You need a place to go to tell your side of the story. In other words, some judges, some elders of the city to hear you out. And they called these places the cities of refuge. God commanded it, and God provided them as a place of mercy and grace for, are you ready for this? Accidents. For unintentional deaths. Let's look at verse 3 closely again. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally. I did a thorough... Was that my microphone? Well, let me fix this before that becomes a distraction. All right. Where was I at? Verse 3. God bless you, sanctified people. I looked at that passage. I looked at all of the original sayings of the word there. And the word accidentally and unintentionally means accidentally and unintentionally. God's not bandying words about here. So this was not a refuge for murderers. This was a place of sanctuary and a place of refuge for someone that had accidentally committed what we call today manslaughter. Let's say you have an accident at the corner. You are not paying attention. You're so on fire going home for Jesus and the great message your pastor had, you're not paying attention and run the red light. And you hit somebody and accidentally something happens and they are slayed. And that day, somebody would seek you out and kill you. Nowadays, we have laws to take care of that. Now, I see some puzzled looks in the sanctuary. Pastor Larry, where are you going with this? What's going on here? Let me share with you how this applies to us. What is the biblical application? Because pastors are called to preach the truth of the Word of God. And you may be saying, well, truthful, Pastor, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't killed anyone. Why would I need a city of refuge? Guys, let me tell you something. We are all guilty of someone's death. Every single person here, every single person watching on the internet, every single person listening on a CD or audio, we are absolutely guilty of someone's death. And the person whose death we are guilty of is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how is that possible? Because of our sin, because of my sin, because of your sin, because of all of our sin, we all helped put Jesus Christ on that cross. If we look at the cross of Jesus Christ in that light, it changes how we think of the cross. Amen? Can you imagine the Son of God on that cross? And I'm thinking all the time when I'm preparing my messages, Lord Jesus, you did that for me. Scripture says that if you were the only sinner that was on the earth, Christ would have still gone to the cross. If you were the only one. And so we are guilty of that. We caused the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But the good news, the amazing news, the remarkable news is that it is in God's nature to want to forgive. God wants to forgive us. It's in His nature. And Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, has that same nature. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross of Calvary? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we read, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, knowingly or unknowingly, accidentally or on purpose, we're all guilty of death of Jesus Christ. We need forgiveness. We need a refuge. And the good news is, the consolation is, of Christ our consolation, is that God is good. Amen? Amen. God is good? And all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. But wait a minute, preacher, how do I know that Jesus can be my refuge? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, verses 20 and 21. This is so good. I get all excited about this. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen, what is Jesus saying? What is Paul saying? It's saying that Christ is able to do abundantly, exceedingly above all that we could ever imagine. But while we're here, I want you to understand that what we are to do as Christians. While we're here in this passage, Paul is saying something specific here, and we never want to take Scripture out of context. I want you to get the full measure of the Word of God. So while we're here, let's look up to verse 14. If you're there, please say amen. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened that with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul is saying, I want you to know, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're for me or against me, whether you're trying to live peacefully with me or trying to kill me, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the abundance of Christ Jesus in your life. How would our nation be changed if Christians started doing that? If the world knew that Christians felt, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're saying, no matter how you're protesting, no matter how the riots are going on, no matter what is being said from Congress or the White House or the people in the street, that Christians are praying for you to receive Christ Jesus. How would that change our nation? How would that change our hearts? Amen? Now, with that in mind, let's reread those last two verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Being aware that we should be praying for everyone. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Which power is working in your heart, guys? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. You guys, we use an old term, got some Holy Ghost power going on in your lives. I'm looking out here and I see all my friends and my family. I see Miss Marie Cherry over there. I know she's got Holy Ghost power going on in her lives. I see brother DJ back there. I know when he's driving down the street looking to use that ink pen one more time, he's got Holy Ghost power going on in his life. And all God's people said, amen. Now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to who? Him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here's what I know. If we stay faithful to God, He stays faithful to us. He is faithful even when we're not faithful. Amen. Because God is good and all the time. Now, with that in our mind, it is in the nature of Jesus Christ to be our refuge. Christ wants to be our sanctuary, our consolation. It was in the nature of the God the Father to send the Son, because God wants you in heaven. If you're sitting here in the sanctuary and you're unsaved, or you're watching on the internet, God wants you in heaven. He doesn't want you to fall short. He doesn't want you to go to eternal damnation. He wants you in heaven. And so He sent the Holy Spirit, the Son of God did. Remember when Jesus was going back to heaven? He says, I'm going to send another of the same kind. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And that pull on your heart right here in the sanctuary for our Christians that are here, that pull on your heart is the Holy Spirit telling you, get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on fire. Become passionate about what God has called us to do. Look for those opportunities. Lord, send us some lost people. Send us lost people to Living Hope Baptist Church. The Lord did. He sent them to my house. I said, all right, Lord, let me clarify that. Send us some lost people. Last night He sent me to a party full of them. Sat me right next to a guy. He didn't want to hear anything about Jesus, but he kept asking me about Him. 2 hours I sat there talking. Miss Ruth Ann can say amen to that. She's going, sweetheart, can't you just eat your chicken there? Can't do it. Sorry, can't do it. The Lord put this sinner right next to me. Listen, there but for the grace of God go I, amen? And so listen, guys, the Holy Spirit is saying, that conviction that you feel pulling in your heart says, come to me. It could be for those of you that are not saved, come to me for salvation. But for us that are believers, Christ is saying, come to me. Show the world my love for them. Show the world my love. Take refuge. Take consolation in the Lord. Back to Joshua chapter 20. We're not going to read them right now. We're not going to expound on it. But verses 4 to 6 is where God tells us when someone takes refuge, what is to happen? What's to happen in that city? Go back and read it later. Basically, God is saying, listen, leave the judgment to me. Don't take your own judgment. Don't take your own vengeance on anyone. What does Scripture say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So first, we saw the nature of Christ. Second, we see the names of Jesus Christ. The names of Jesus Christ. Names, Pastor Larry, in these six cities? Absolutely. I'm so glad you guys asked me about that. I thought I'd get a testimony here. I'm glad I brought my own. As we read these cities' names here in chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, I want you, as we read, I'll let you know what to do, okay? Do you have that straight line drawn in your notes? Do you have the one on the left? So as we go, you're going to write small now because you need to get three words in there. All right, verse 7, it says, so they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali. Six cities. These cities have, of course, six names written by that number one, right? Kadesh, K-E-D-E-S-H. And in the Bible, names have very definite significance. And the names of these six cities have significance. So Kadesh, right next to Kadesh, holiness. Holiness. In other words, Kadesh was a place of holiness. Aren't you glad that refuge in Jesus Christ brings us to a position of holiness? When we are in Christ, we are in righteous standing before God the Father. We stand in holiness. Now listen, what does the Kadesh, what does that holiness mean? What is that? Christ is our holiness, which means He is our Savior. Write that next to the holiness. He is our Savior. Christ is our holy Savior. If you're with me, please say amen. The next city is Shechem. Please write that in there. S-H-E-C-H-E-M. What does Shechem mean? It means shoulder or strength or support. Okay? That's what it means. But listen to me. Christ is not only our Savior who gives us holiness. Christ is our strength. He is our strength. He carries us in our weakness. You have a day this week when you needed Jesus deeply in your heart? You have a day or time this past month when you just felt weak in your spirit? If you watch the news, that can happen, amen? And you just needed Jesus to come. And you felt that weakness. Well, Christ is our strength, amen? Next comes number three, Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N. Hebron means fellowship. Hebron means fellowship. Not only is he Kadesh, my Savior, not only is he Shechem, my strength, No, friends, He is also Christ, my satisfaction. See, when you have fellowship with the Lord, when you have fullness in your heart, then you are satisfied. Amen? Amen. You ever sat around just, your heart feels satisfied? Perhaps you've read your scripture, you've done your daily Bible study. The wife, your spouse, whether it's the man that's doing the cooking or the woman that's doing the cooking in the house, you can tell who does the cooking in my house. If I did all cooking, I'd be a lot thinner. But you ever just get that meal and you're just sitting there satisfied? Christ, our satisfaction in our lives. Miss Ruth Ann made... Never mind, I'm not even going to go there. She made my favorite meal the other day. It's called... In Louisiana, they call it smothered chicken. I can tell you right now, that chicken went happily. Number four, on the right-hand side of your page now, comes Bezer. Bezer, which means stronghold. Friends, it's a place of safety, which means that Jesus Christ is our security. Christ, our security. Not only our Savior, not only our strength, not only our satisfaction, but Christ, our security. Christ is my hiding place in my times of trouble. Amen? Fifth comes Ramoth. Ramoth, R-A-M-O-T-H. If you're still with me, say amen. Ramoth means exalted. Exalted. Where is Jesus Christ right now, by the way? He's at the right hand of the God the Father. Acts 2:33 reads that Christ sits high and lifted up, exalted at the right hand of God. What a refuge to have my Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, ruling over all, meaning Jesus Christ is my sovereign. He is my sovereign. Not only my Savior, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, but my sovereign. Christ, is Christ sovereign in your life? Does Christ rule your heart? Does He rule your actions? Are you sitting here right now in today's service? Maybe you worked last night. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you need some strength. But listen to me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because we have a sovereign that's the Lord, that's the King Jesus Christ. So lift up your head. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Amen? And finally, Golan means separated. And the biblical word for separated is sanctification. Sanctification. Write that down. Sanctification. In other words, when you are saved, you have been set apart. You are set apart for the work of the Lord. Brother Cliff Dugall has been set apart for the work of the Lord to serve as a deacon, to serve as an elder, to serve as a member of our praise team. Amen? Miss Ruth Ann has been set apart to put up with the pastor. It's a high calling. It's a difficult calling. Because this, I don't know if I've ever said this, but there's kind of an animal inside of here. And when he gets out, it makes a mess. And it's hard to get it back in there. And Miss Ruth Ann is the only person that's ever been, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, been able to calm this heart down. She has that ability. Marvelous ability, marvelous gift. So what a great set of cities of refuge, amen? Kadesh, Christ our Savior. Shechem, Christ our strength. Kirjath, Christ our satisfaction. Bezer, Christ our security. Ramoth, Christ our sovereign. Golan, Christ our sanctification. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What great names. But what is my favorite name? My favorite name is Jesus. Yeshua. Which means my salvation. That is my favorite name for the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we've seen the nature of Christ. We've seen the names of Christ. And now we look at third point today, the nearness of Christ. Now in my study, I went where some of you guys have already been today. As the pastor droned on, perhaps was a boring in a few parts here today. I know that that's not possible to happen, but maybe you already visited a place that I went and visited when I was studying the names of these places. It's called the Book of Maps in the back of your Bibles. And when I studied the locations of these places, when I studied where God had placed, actually physically placed these cities, oh Lord. Lordy, 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 Lordy. They're on both sides of the Jordan River. In the northwest was Kadesh. In the middle west was Shechem. In the southwest was Kirjath Abba. In the northeast was Golan. In the middle east was Ramoth. In the southeast was Bezer. What is so important about that? Good Lord, Pastor Larry, why is that important? Why did God do that? Why this beautifully, evenly spaced geographical pattern? Why? So that the city of refuge could be close to anyone. You see, when an accident happens and you need something, when you're on the run, you don't want to run far, amen? You want to get to that place of refuge as soon as you possibly can. And so, let's just keep this simple here. God spread those cities out so as they could be close to wherever you were. Every city of refuge was close. What else about the location of the cities? They were on mountains. They were easily seen. Because of Levitical law, the roads were broad, they were well marked, and had to be kept in good repair. My friends, what is God telling us here? That here's what it is, that Christ our Savior, Christ our strength, Christ our satisfaction, Christ our security, Christ our sovereign, Christ our sanctification is near wherever you are. Amen. You can be sitting here in this sanctuary, you can be watching on the internet. Christ is right here. You turn to the left, Christ. You turn to your right, Christ. You call out for Christ in your happy moments, He's there. You call into Christ in your moments of despair when you seem personally far from God, Christ is right there. It tells you how clear and how close a refuge is to you. If you look on the screen, Psalm chapter 145, verse 18, reads this. Matter of fact, we're going to read several things here. It says, the Lord is what? Near to all who call upon Him. The Lord is near. You simply need to call upon Him. Call out the name of the Lord to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Have you ever cried out to the Lord in your moment of despair? And don't sit here looking all spiritual like you haven't done that. We've all had that moment of despair, amen? Have you ever run out of money before you ran out of bills? Lord God, please help me. Give this bill collector some mercy so that phone stops ringing. Don't act like you don't know what that's all about. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. What is the wicked? It's those people that for once and for all say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be destroyed. What does it say? Oh, what about me? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. What does that mean? All flesh shall bless His holy name? It means that even after the judgment, those folks that march into the lake of fire or cast in the lake of fire will know that they placed themselves there. They will know that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is just for His judgment, that God gave them every chance possible to repent and to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is near, that passage says, to all who call upon Him. So if you're sitting here today, if you're watching on the internet, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Call upon His name. Jesus is near. You don't have to go up to heaven to find Jesus Christ. You don't have to go down into hell to find Jesus Christ. You don't have to go across the ocean or somewhere far away. He is right here. Praise His holy name. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. Give Him praise in His house. Isn't that an amazing passage? The Lord is near to all of them that call upon Him in truth. That is His nature. That is who He is. As a matter of fact, He is the God that is near. Did you know that's one of His names? One of the names of God is Elohim Karab. Means God is near. God is near. So we've seen the nature of Christ, the names of Christ, the nearness of Christ. Finally, look at the screen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. How simple is this? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may think, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm guilty of. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Pastor, you don't know how far I've been away from the Lord. You don't know how long I've been away from the Lord for many years. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Pastor, I'm near to death. I'm watching on the internet right now, and I have a terrible disease, and I could die at any moment, and I've never lived for the Lord any time in my life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is righteous and true, and He's not man that He should not keep His word. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. Rejoice in that. Did you know that right now, right where you're sitting in your seat in this sanctuary, watching on the internet, watching on DVD, that at this very moment you can bow your head and simply say, Lord Jesus, save me. For you Christians that are going through a tough time right now, you can simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I run to You. You're my refuge. I know You're close. You're my sovereign. Please save me from this position I'm in. How is that possible? He's our refuge, our strength, and He's near. So call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, Luke chapter 15 verse 10 reads, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. One sinner. How many people is He talking about? Everyone. Amen? The saved are sinners. I hate to break that bad news to you guys. The redeemed are sinners. The unrepentant, unredeemed are sinners. But there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. One person repents. And the halls of heaven erupt in praise and rejoicing. And 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels give a great shout and rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? These powerful angels, the seraphim, the archangels, rejoice in the presence of God over one sinner that has been saved. Why is that? Why do these angels rejoice over just one and every single one repenting sinner? Could it be that they see something that we can't? Could it be that they know something that we don't know? Absolutely. You see, the angels know what heaven holds. The angels know what heaven holds for those that have been redeemed in the Lord. Listen, my friends. Heaven is populated by people that allowed their Heavenly Father to change them. Heaven is populated by changed hearts. How are we changed in heaven? How will you be different in heaven? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I don't know how we're going to improve on this. But can you imagine, as Brother Earl said, man, if I look like this now, what am I going to look like in heaven with a glorified body? Can you imagine singing in heaven with a glorified voice? Miss Rafaela, can you imagine being right here at the throne room of God, at the throne of God, praising a holy Jesus? Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? Can you imagine those things? I don't know if we're going to have drummers in heaven, but I think DJ will be right there. He's going to take that ink pen and say, sorry, Pastor, I don't need this no more. Don't need this in heaven. No more arguments. Why? Because jealousy doesn't exist. No more suspicions, because there are no secrets. We will know all things in Christ. Every sin is gone. Every fear is past. Pure wheat, no weeds. Pure gold, no alloys. Pure love, the love of God, no lust. Pure hope, no despair. That's what heaven's going to be like. No wonder the angels rejoice over the heart of one sinner that has been saved. They know, listen to me, when someone is saved, they become a new creation in Christ. And the angels know that very soon another work of art will stride through the gates of heaven and walk heaven's streets. Have you ever heard that saying, he's a real piece of work? Friends, you are a real piece of work if you are the redeemed of God. The angels know what heaven holds. May I ask you today, will it hold you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? I end this message as I begin each and every message, saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.